This is the problem. Take a pair of scales of the old-fashioned type.
Last time, after I started off talking about how to bend a spoon for fun and profit, I moved into how we can use the marvellous art of magic to uncover some of the secrets of the human brain. I mentioned that magicians use a whole bunch of devices to entertain the audience, starting with visual illusions and optical illusions. Now, the third device that they use is the cognitive illusion. The magician aims to misdirect the attention of the audience, and as a result, they won't notice that something has changed. This is called inattention blindness. For example, a magician might move his hands slowly in a curve or quickly in a straight line. Now, your eyes will accurately follow the slow-moving hand in what they call a smooth pursuit. But when your eyes follow a fast-moving object, they don't move smoothly. Instead, they jump from one location to the next. These sudden eye movements are called saccades. And during a saccade, you are effectively blind. Yes, you do actually see reality, but only at the beginning and the end of a saccade. And the stuff in between, well, you make it up and you insert it into reality. Now, another neuroscientific fact to add to the mix is that our brains treat curves differently from how they treat straight lines. Straight lines are fairly predictable. They'll just go straight. But curved lines, and corners as well, are less predictable. So our brains are wired to pay more attention to curved lines. And so this is something that the magician can do to get you to not notice something or to misdirect your attention. The fourth device used by magicians is the field of special effects, and these include false gunshots, impressive explosions, and so on. And the fifth device is the gimmick, mechanical devices, secret devices, and so on. And it might include, say, a spoon made of a special metal alloy, such as nitinol, that might change shape at a certain temperature. Now, the right person to catch out a magician is another magician, not a scientist. A scientist is definitely the wrong person. Firstly, a scientist is expecting everything to be honest and above board and doesn't know how to deal with a magician who is specifically aiming to trick you. So scientists are no different from the rest of us. They are easily tricked. And secondly, there's an old saying, you set a thief to catch a thief. Only a thief knows the tricks of a fellow professional thief. So, in trying to catch a magician, only a fellow professional magician would know what to look for, and where, and when. So, back in 1973, when the TV host Johnny Carson invited Uri Geller onto his show to bend some spoons and metal items, he also invited James Randi along. Now, Johnny Carson had been an amateur stage magician earlier in his career, and James Randi knew that it was easy to prepare and to weaken a spoon. All you had to do was bend it back and forth many times until it got hot, and until the force needed to bend the spoon suddenly decreased. So, before Geller went on air, Randi changed all the spoons and other metal items that Geller had planned to use. Geller responded by saying that his power couldn't be turned on and off like a switch, and that he simply didn't feel strong enough to try. Mr. Geller started his climb to fame with the bending spoon trick in 1972, but in 1968, a conjuring magazine had been published in Israel, and it gave, and I quote, "the instructions for a spoon trick that was indistinguishable from the Geller demonstration," unquote. Uri Geller is not a psychic with supernatural powers. He's just a skilled magician who turned a few basic magic tricks into a career. To quote the Skeptic's Dictionary, and I quote, "Geller is a fraud. He has no psychic powers, and what Geller does amounts to no more than the parlour tricks of a conjurer, unquote. And as James Randi said, and I quote, "If Uri Geller bends spoons with divine powers, then he's doing it the hard way," unquote.
What does it mean? Why is it so?